Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 107. This is Kevin DeFrango. Sitting right beside me is Ken Phillips. What is happening, good sir?
Hey, man. Good to be back together again, recording. I'm doing well. It's one of those weird weeks, though, Kevin. I gotta say, I'm not a fan of having holidays on Wednesdays. Can I say that?
I think that is a very valid thing to bitch about at the top of the show. You know, not really a planned topic, but no. I think the Wednesday holiday, which does not happen all that frequently because, you know, a lot of them, they attach them to a Monday or a Friday so that everyone can have a 3-day weekend.
I think wisely. It seems like for the new holidays that they come up with, they're like, okay, we're going to tie this one to a Monday. Not going to be ridiculous here. But, you know, kind of the ones that are grandfathered in, like 4th of July, obviously.
Yeah, it's a floating holiday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some other, Easter is a floating holiday.
Oh, yeah, and that one's even more confusing because it's never on the same day every year.
Correct, yeah.
That can be doubly frustrating.
Yeah, lunar calendar. Things get thrown off a little bit with that one.
But, yeah, Christmas. So, you like your older holidays, historically speaking, are, you know, the newer ones they come out with, it seems like they tie it to a Monday.
Yep, like I said, give everyone a 3-day weekend.
They know that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
I guess, Kevin, would you be in favor of moving the 4th of July to be celebrated on a Monday? Or would you see that as being blasphemous?
I do not think that would muster vote enough to move that. Although I still do find it weird. It was kind of funny. I have now lived in Ohio in Columbus long enough that I didn't think about the fact that the big fireworks show is July the 3rd because everyone else does it the other way around. Yes. And the municipalities like get them on July the 3rd and the big city one is on the main holiday.
Yeah, that is, I guess that's, I never thought about that really because if we've been out here for long enough since I've been to pay attention to such things, I guess.
Right.
Like, who does what fireworks when? But, yeah, I mean, for those not in the know, but...
Because
there's a big fireworks show here in town for Red, White, and Boom, was what they call it.
And, yeah, and it's always July the 3rd instead of July the 4th, which I did find it strange when I moved to town. But, yeah, like I said, I've kind of forgotten how strange it is until someone's like, huh? Like, oh, Chris, when we did the regular Stunt Granny audio show this week, since he's a Michigander, he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? No one does fireworks on July the 3rd. I'm like, yeah, we do. Like, that's how things are rolled. He just says, that sounds very Ohio of you.
I feel like there was some deal made with, like, the local municipalities that they were like, we're not going to intrude on, you know, your local holidays. We're going to do this big thing on the 3rd. So it's like kind of out of the way from that traditional stuff.
Oh, right.
Which, I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I know here in Bexley they have a parade, which is kind of a big deal on the 4th of July.
Oh, well, our friends, Andy and Kathy, they live in Grandview now. Well, the southern part of Upper Arlington / Grandview. And there were people along the way that had already staked out their seats for the Arlington parade. Like, people had them roped off with...
Oh, for the local parade.
Yeah, for the local parade.
Sadly, I saw there was people who were camped out 2 days for the big Red, White, and Boom fireworks.
Oh, man. Which just seems miserable. A couple of days?
Yeah, which just seems miserable, especially since it was like 90-plus degrees.
Yeah, that sounds really rough.
You got to really love fireworks.
Yeah.
I do not love fireworks that much.
I, in no way, like, I did not really witness any fireworks this year. Oh, well, I've got to I walk that back, actually.
Okay. I almost got away with one, Kevin.
I saw them at the Crew game this past Saturday, the 30th.
Mm.
So they put on a display after the match. So I did see some fireworks, but I did not see Red, White, and Boom. Did not see any of the local fireworks. It was a thought that crossed our minds. Will we see some type of Gahanna fireworks from our backyard? That is something that I did not consider, and it will be nearly a calendar year before I have to worry about it. So I will probably not put much thought into it after this and then until, oh, let's say, June of next year.
Yeah, the good news is you have some time to come up with the answer on this one. It's not necessarily a time crunch.
Yeah,
you've got a year to look up when the fireworks and where they are.
Yeah, there are some lists to be checked in my life at the current moment. That one ranks somewhere near the bottom of the pool.
Yeah. Not near the bottom might be to make sure you're registered to vote, Kevin. There's, of course, elections coming up this year, very important. For everybody to take part in having a voice in our democracy.
Yeah, I generally feel like the people that I know are going, so it's kind of like, do I really need to say go out to vote since they're going out to vote?
Why not? We don't know who's listening to this, Kevin. It could be someone who's like, should I go out to vote? And the answer is...
We provide the swing voter, yes, in the next... next election. That is how much sway we hold.
Well, you know what? Every vote counts, Kevin. I will say that.
yes. Yes, it does.
So, but some people feel like they may not, they may be choosing this between, you know, I think one reason people might be discouraged from voting, Kevin, is if they feel like they're having to choose between the so-called lesser of two evils. You know what I mean? Like, you only ever have two choices, it seems like.
Really? Yeah, the third party has never come into being. I will admit that my first election that I got to vote in, I went third party and voted for one H. Ross Perot.
Well, you cast a historic vote then, my friend.
I have been a proponent of having a third option since that that age. So I will term things in that manner. It has not materialized in a very long time since then. Like, I was able to vote, I've had more time on this planet since that moment than before that moment, and it has not happened. So, right. You know what, it's been 25 years. If I was 18, I want to say that we were 18 when that election happened.
Is, yeah.
90?
Would that have been, I think it would have been 92.
Or 92.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
That would be with a 6 there somewhere, I would think. Yeah, it has to end with a 6. 26 years?
20. Okay, yeah. 26 years. So, you know, in that 26 years, despite wanting to have that happen, I have not witnessed that happening. You can maybe witness it at a lower level of government. In the higher offices, it does not seem to happen all that frequently. One could cite Jesse Ventura in Minnesota. For being an independent as far as governors go. I'm not sure how many people or how many governors really have had that much publicity and maintain those types of positions. I don't think too many, honestly.
No, there was Jesse Ventura, famously was the third party governor, but you don't see it too often. And
right.
I think the reason being is the way that the whole system is set up. People feel, I think rightfully, if they don't kind of pool their votes together with people who are, you know, interested in the same things or kind of like have, can agree on certain things, then you're kind of throwing your vote away because anybody who can get the majority of the votes wins just right off the bat.
Oh, right.
So it's the nature of the system to only have two choices. Otherwise you're kind of like dispersing your vote onto something that's not going to, you know, have the other person will get it because they will have the one, you know, just to be enough to have more than anybody else votes, right? Just to have more votes than anybody else.
Correct.
So that whole system, if you play through it, you know, kind of game out different scenarios, it just makes more sense from a game theory standpoint to have like two choices.
Right.
So there is another way to vote though, Kevin. And it's something that our countrymen to the north in the great state of Maine, I believe it's a state, not a commonwealth.
Yeah, it is. It is, unlike Pennsylvania. Well, Pennsylvania is only one of the few commonwealths, I think.
Yeah, you're right. There might be...
Oh, Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I did forget. Some again, maybe that's more of a ye olde statey.
Mm-hmm.
Designation.
Yes, that's definitely old timey. That's the equivalent of not having your holiday on a Monday, in terms of being older.
Of how you instated your state.
Yeah, calling yourself a commonwealth is definitely definitely old fashioned. But this is new fashion, Kevin. This would be a new fashion thing from New England.
So Maine is going with a ranked choice system.
Mm-hmm.
So you vote for your top three, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, you can actually...
Or you can assign...
So you could, if you think... it. The way they describe it is a little bit confusing, I feel like. But if I could imagine, like... you have a list of candidates and then you're allowed to like sort that list basically in order of your preference. Like this would be your first choice, your second choice, your third choice, and so on. What'll happen is they will tally up all the votes, the first round, right? Everybody's first choice will get those votes will count across the board and they'll tally up the results. Now, if no one has more than 50% of the vote, total vote, they will then start looking at like people's second choices, and they will like throw out like the most unpopular candidate, and then look at those people's who voted for that candidate. They'll look at their second choice, and then they'll assign those voters to whatever their second choice was that they voted for, and then they'll look at the totals again, and they'll see if somebody has over 50% after that. If not, then they'll knock off the voters for the next least popular voter. And then those votes will get distributed. So it's like you're allowed to put like kind of like a long shot as your, say, most popular vote. And then kind of like sort things that way. Because you know that at least your vote won't be totally wasted if your candidate doesn't win. Like you'll still have some say in like in terms of your preferences beyond that. So I think it's a pretty cool system. They do need to work on.
I feel like this is a little bit closer to what they do in England, if I'm not mistaken. Or because they have multiple parties.
Yeah, I think they are somehow able to, whatever they're doing over there, they definitely have more parties than we do.
Yeah, so when I read this, I felt like this was maybe a little bit closer, and I'm not all that well versed in English politics and how they vote, but I do feel like they have more of a ranking system, not quite like this. But I do think that the fact that Maine is the size that it is, they can decide things like this. I mean, there is 1.3 million people in the state of Maine. There are 2.3 million people in Columbus? In the greater metro area?
I believe that sounds right, yeah.
The state of Maine has less of a population than what is within a reasonable distance of us.
Yes, than half of that, basically. So
right.
It's not that big a state, you're right. It is sparsely populated as well.
And I guess you could always... I guess it's something that a city could possibly do, too. Like, you could probably get a citywide change, like, if you wanted to try and institute something like that. It might work more in an urban environment, too, if someone tried to push that through. I'm not sure if it would, but just because it's a big enough of a government, or, you know... And there's more people that are, I would say, ideologically similar that might be more receptive to it in a city than opposed to, you know.
Yeah. Well, I just don't know.
A less populated area.
Because I feel like it's almost non-partisan in a way. It's like anti-establishment. And that is kind of like a popular... mood right now, it would seem, like on both sides of the spectrum, in terms of, you know, Republicans not being in favor of like the old line, you know, Republican establishment, and really the same thing on the Democratic side. You got people who are more like Bernie Sanders socialist kind of people. So this seems like it would catch on in terms, no matter where you stood, to me, because then you get to kind of like say then. You know, you get, like I said, you get
at least you have a voice in the system, even if you don't win, straight up win.
And in terms of other people then too, realizing that, okay, like now we can actually vote for these third party people, and if you really want to vote that way, but you might think like, I don't want to waste my vote, like that ends up giving these people maybe an actual chance of getting enough votes to, you know, especially in a runoff situation, which you could have under
yeah.
that system.
It would be really nice if something like that happened, because I do feel like at a minimum, a lot of people would fill in a third party candidates as a number two.
And it's like you end up in this two party system with like these weird, like sets of policies like that each side is supposed to have, and it like they don't always make sense together, and it's like it would make sense to kind of like be able to
mix
split
and match
things up a little bit more.
I do think that that's something that comes along a lot. You're like, why does that not work? Like I'm confused here.
Yeah, so it'd be good, I think, in terms of our democracy in general. We might have less corrosive politics, maybe, Kevin? I don't know. It's maybe wishing for too much at this point.
Well, yeah, I don't know what you do. You know, you always wonder what the... Because I would imagine it's hard to actually put a number on the people that are completely cuckoo bonkers.
Well, I don't know. Depending on, I guess you have to be specific in defining what cuckoo bonkers is.
Well, I do think that some of the louder voices, some of the crazier voices get a little more attention, and that maybe the people that vote for some of these louder voices, I don't know if they change their mind, but if they had like someone, like you said, that they mix their vote better, that more people would probably vote for them. Like, because there is, like you said, like there's kind of a mixed bag. Like, no, I don't like that they do that. And it's not something that always happens frequently.
Yeah.
And you, to break so you, from the party.
And you end up not finding somebody that, you know, you're really excited to vote for, but, you know, you feel like you have to vote for maybe more to get to stop the other guy from getting in there. Sometimes.
It yeah. seems like.
So, I don't know. I'm all for this kind of a system.
It's always interesting when a place like Maine does something like that, or you know, and I know that we've talked about it with the states' rights, with the whole marijuana legalization.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, it's pretty interesting that places that are attached to one giant place kind of have at least some sense of autonomy that maybe people forget about in general.
Yeah, it's interesting. I guess you
local changes honestly affect you more than changes that are happening at the federal level, and the federal level tends to get a lot of attention.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you would have to. I can't imagine that the legislator would pass anything that would like basically throw them into disarray. So it would probably end up having to be like a some kind of constitutional amendment, perhaps, that, you know, you could vote on, similar to what they did with the casinos.
Yeah. And I mean, and marijuana has been on that.
They tried to do that before.
Here in Ohio, too. So, yeah.
If they would change the way they voted here, I mean, that would be another state. I mean, obviously a bigger state, so a little bit more of a... risk reward, perhaps.
I do think, like, I agree with you. I don't think anyone's gonna write that into the system and jeopardize their own job. That's fairly nice.
Yeah,
but, so you've got to affect the change from the outside.
And you know, there is that.
Get to writing this bill, Ken.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, how many signatures do you think you could get? I think we need to get like 800,000 or something like that. We could probably spend a couple afternoons looking for this.
Yeah, I mean, just Stunt Granny fans alone in Ohio, I think we can get 800,000 signatures.
All right, well, maybe we'll look a little more into it, make sure that number's right.
well, it might be 8, and I just might have been looking at the decimal point and a bunch of zeros.
Oh, 8 signatures?
Yeah, 8 signatures.
Because that would definitely be easier to be able to... get 8 signatures to have an issue on the ballot. I'm surprised you don't see more issues on the ballot. That's kind of interesting. The more people don't take that up. Huh. Oh, well. We'll just do a little more research and we'll find out for sure.
We'll get back to you.
Yeah.
Well, Ken, that is definitely, to me, a human interest story.
Sure.
Because I mean, it's
interesting to humans, right?
Yep. And we do love our, interesting human stories.
Mm, that's right.
And
people may have seen this clip.
I hope to God, if you have not seen this clip from our fine friends up north in Canada in Spruce Grove, Alberta, there was an unruly couple in a convenience store.
And I gotta say, we normally don't do much coverage of Canada, I feel like. Or, well, have we been there before in Canada? Maybe occasionally.
Yeah, a little bit. Canada does not get as many stories as England and the U.S. definitely are our top two go-tos. Japan is probably third, and I think Canada is a distant fourth.
You know what I would actually like to see is a like a pin map of the stories that we've done, just like to kind of like be able to see like all over the world where these crazy things are happening.
That would be pretty fun to get that done.
All right. Well, that's something else we're going to have to put on the back burner, or at least some kind of burner. I think it's a solid idea.
Yeah, my graphics skills are improving. I might be able to pull that off if I've... it's pretty easy to get a map of the world to just throw some pins into.
Yeah, well, that sounds pretty good then. We're gonna have to work on that a little bit more because I have some ideas, you know, as well. Maybe using like Google Maps or something like that, we could make it a little easier even on ourselves. And just just kind of gathering the data would be the struggle, I think. But we can work on that.
Who said anything about gathering data?
Oh no!
I thought we were just looking at a map.
Well, these people were definitely not just looking at a map, Kevin.
No, Spruce Grove, Alberta, Canada.
Yes.
Yeah, it is not Lance Storm's beloved Calgary.
I was thinking of Chris Jericho as well.
Oh, that is true too.
Calgary, Alberta, Canada. It was the story of a couple, I guess. A poignant tale told through surveillance footage. this does really go lots of different places, I gotta say. Maybe the most complete surveillance footage story that I've ever come across.
Yeah, there are several quality camera angles.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there's an act structure. Like, there's definitely like a first act in this story. I don't exactly know what happens, but there's an altercation that breaks out between a shirtless man in a convenience store.
And the police officer who is there to subdue him. And I would imagine, I believe they were definitely intoxicated and being belligerent to the staff.
Well, according to the article, even, late breaking news here, they were trying to use a stolen credit card.
Oh, I forgot that was part of this case, too.
Yes.
Because they got booked for a number of violations. Because, yeah, stolen credit card, I believe it was attacking a police officer, attacking a civilian who was trying to subdue you.
Yeah, I mean, spoiler alert, breaking a ceiling.
Also a separate crime.
I would think you've got to pay for that damage, or at least in theory pay for that damage. People may not have necessarily the liquidity to come up with that kind of payment, but they should at least be responsible in some way for that payment on paper somewhere. By the way, this guy should not be shirtless in a store, right? They have the same rules in Canada that we do here. Like, no shirt, no shoes, no service.
I can't remember if the beginning of the video he had a shirt on. And then it came off during, at the beginning of the altercation with the police officer.
Well.
I could be wrong on that front.
Yep.
I mean, I did appreciate that there were two locations to watch this video, and conveniently, yeah, he has a shirt right there, and it comes off.
Oh yeah, so that's what I'm talking about. So we're just
attention to detail, Ken. It's a steel trap up here.
You definitely picked up on that better than I did. But yeah, his girlfriend jumps on that policeman to allow him to go free, but then. They both try to get out the back door, which you point out, Kevin, really should be not locked. Right?
Yeah, there appears to be a large bar on the back of the convenience store door. And it would seem like that was the employee back area. And that is just needed for safety purposes for someone to be able to go out that way. So I don't understand why there's some type of extra bar on the back door to start with that would block someone's path from leaving.
Yeah.
Well, two people, because I'm not saying that, well, they were drunk, at least from what they were mentioning. And that can make you do some dumb things, obviously. But you can figure out how to use a door if push, like literally push comes to shove, right?
So to speak, if push comes to shove, yes, on the door. It does seem like there's like a some type of club or something equivalent on that door to prevent it from being opened.
Yeah, I mean, I can certainly understand that convenience stores have some robbery problems. I understand having a little reinforcement in the place, but it really shouldn't hurt the exiting. And no matter how many times I watched the woman in this case fall through the ceiling is just hilarious. I can't believe that they had a perfect camera view of her falling through the ceiling. Like, it, a director could not have had a shot that brilliant.
No, and it's like, all like, you have the good shot of her like going into the ceiling. And then, like, she basically is centered in the frame when she falls through the ceiling.
Yeah, I am surmising that she fell through trying to do the old let's crawl through the air duct. And air ducts are very thin material. I guess I'm not completely sure what else she'd be climbing on in the ceiling that made her fall through.
I feel like she was probably just climbing on the drop tiles, drops, you know, drop ceiling framework up there.
Yeah, well, the same problem persists. Like, that metal is not meant for a human to be crawling on it.
No, I wouldn't think
in, so. In the least. Ceiling tiles are not all that heavy.
No. They're compared to a human, and she definitely fell through, and I think luckily for her, landed on her ass and well, was able and to walk away.
Landed on some shelving.
Yeah, that probably helped too.
I think helped also
because it kind of broke the shelf, kind of broke her fall while breaking the shelf.
Yeah. It bent. It did not break itself, but it definitely helped out some.
Yeah. So that's kind of the other feel good part about this story, I guess you can say, is that no one was really hurt in the course of this video. So that is always good.
Well, her boyfriend did, I believe, get tased at some point.
Well, not, you know, no permanent bodily injury or anything like that, I'd say. Would you agree?
I would agree on that front.
So it's all fun and games, really.
But one of the other stellar parts of this video is the fact that he threatened to throw a bag of candy at the police officer.
Yes. I don't know what he was thinking there.
That is a move worthy of laughter.
I guess he was going to try to pull like a throw the candy bag in his face and like run away, use it for cover somehow.
I guess you could be using it for cover,
but I'm not sure how much cover that can buy you. And he probably did have second thoughts when he saw the guy had a taser gun pointed directly at him.
Yeah, that is something that it never seems enjoyable. I know that people tolerate and they're like, oh, I just need to. That's one of those things that I don't need to. Maybe it's because I did sit in an electric chair at one point and it was not comfortable.
Yeah, we've discussed this incident.
Yeah, and I would imagine that being tased is somewhat similar to this, except
probably you're more being so
paralyzed.
Yeah,
you know, you're getting enough voltage. It obviously a non-lethal dose, but it still is not fun at all.
And I was kind of impressed that this guy was able to basically jump right up after being tased and run out the door. I mean, and wrestle with the cop on the way out. He was, I assume, overcome because they did apprehend him.
But yeah, backup did finally come at the end of this 2.5 minute video.
Mm.
The response time was pretty good, I suppose.
Yeah, that is true. They must have been pretty close by. But, yeah, that's pretty good response time. But, all in all, you know, an entertaining video. If you haven't seen it yet, it's probably worth checking out.
100% worth the time.
Also,
speaking of videos worth your time, Ken, I believe I saw this one on Yield Twitter, and I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, that can't be real.
Mm. It's a crazy video.
And it was. There is evidently some woman was very pissed off at her boyfriend. Her boyfriend, for reasons that I've not searched out whether there are real reasons or an aftermath to this video.
Yeah, it's possible there could be a follow-up. It's been about a week, I think,
in our time
since the video has surfaced.
Yeah, it's been a little over a week since the video surfaced. And the story itself has not been updated with anything meaningful. So we do not know if this couple made up or not. We do not know exactly what caused the gentleman in question to...
We don't know how this fight started.
Yeah, don't know how it started. Don't know how it ended, really.
Well, this could have been... If this is not the end of the fight, Kevin, I don't know how things could possibly escalate from here, really. Short of murder.
Yeah, I was going to say, if he gets out alive, I guess that's the way to escalate it, is murder.
Yes.
Not exactly the way you should want to escalate things.
No, but that's really the only place you can go from here, Kevin, because this is pretty damn close. This guy is riding... hanging on with his fingers.
It is movie style on...
To the hood of this car.
Of a car.
On an interstate highway, I-95, going like 70 miles an hour, I'd say. Easy.
Yeah, there is someone filming him from his own car, and the gentleman who really is being quite irresponsible himself by filming this and driving.
That is like making this video doubly scary, really.
Yeah, he kept on saying to defend himself that he was worried about them running into him. Man, I guess I'd have to try and get some of that video because that shit's crazy. But I don't worry about filming myself what my driving speed is.
Yeah.
This guy really could have caused his own problems. But this video is still completely off the hook.
It looks like they're over into the express area of the highway. Or like the...
Yeah, because it does look like there's some type of median between the gentleman filming and the car that has the gentleman on the hood.
Yeah, it's a small barrier that looks like could be crashed through very easily. So I can understand him still being worried about being hit.
I completely agree with that, too.
But I don't think I would be able to record. I mean, the other thing is, like, the video is, like, I think good quality. Like, I don't know how he's able to record so, like, steadily while he's driving down the road at, like, 70 miles an hour.
Yeah, like, I would be too intimidated by the situation, I think, to maybe comprehend the fact that I should be recording it.
Yeah, I mean, if I looked over and saw somebody was hanging on the roof, not on the roof, on the hood of the car wearing flip-flops while the car is going 70 miles an hour, I think I would just lose my freaking shit. It's, I mean, I might just crash my car in surprise. It's just, that would be insane.
Yeah,
Then let alone to, like, steadily film it while you're driving.
Again, at 70 miles an hour.
That could almost be the most surprising thing about that video, is how, like, calmly and, like, journeyman, like, this guy was recording this this video clip. Crazy.
Yeah, he does yeoman's work in recording this video.
I would say so. Perhaps this will say an interest of his video.
He could be the next NFL cameraman or something. And although they never get popular, this guy's gonna get more camera time than any cameraman ever.
So he could be like the celebrity cameraman that we've often dreamt of but never have actually experienced.
Well, there is one celebrity cameraman if you watch the American Ninja Warrior.
Oh, really?
Because he actually does record, has a job with one of the networks and does NFL games. I forget which one, to be completely honest with you.
So how is he a celebrity then?
He's one of the only people to complete the Ninja Warrior course.
Oh, and he's a cameraman. Okay.
And he's a cameraman.
I thought maybe he was a cameraman on the Ninja Warrior. I didn't understand that he was a competitor on there and then became a cameraman in the NFL.
Yes.
I thought somehow he...
That is I correct. Was, see, my bad on that.
I was imagining that he first rose to prominence as a cameraman and somehow, like, developed a following, you know, that people would kind of have signs that would be related to him somehow in the audience.
I mean, he must have risen to get that job. You have to be doing something right, I would imagine.
Right. No, I'm not. Yeah, you're right. So he should have, we should assume that he has the qualifications to be a cameraman, which in the NFL is kind of tricky because you got to be making sure that you're always watching the play. It can develop over a long period of, or a long distance on the field. So you have to be able to move that camera around quick. So yeah, he's probably a good cameraman. Okay. We can agree to that.
Well, you were acting like he came out of nowhere or something. I mean, like, I'm sure he kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, he might have been the most likely to be a cameraman out of the Ninja Warrior class that year. But it's a wild thing. I don't know if this guy could have been, I don't know.
Could be an event on American Ninja Warrior, hanging on to the hood of a car going 70 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah. That's got to be an event somewhere because...
And honestly, yeah, if this guy came out of this without being injured, it's crazy. Like, what made him hang on to the hood? How long did it take them to get to the highway so that she could do 70 miles an hour?
Yeah, like, how does he end up on that hood? That's kind of my question, I think.
Yeah, does she not take a hard corner and shake him at some point? I cannot imagine that it's very easy to be hanging on. At the point that he's actually at, that might be one of the easier moments to hang on in some way. Because I'd imagine the air is pushing you down. Mm-hmm. The aerodynamics of the car is kind of in your favor if you keep your body low.
Right. But
but you still you've got to worry about that stop. That slowdown can be quite rough.
And his feet were like he wasn't all the way on, like he wasn't able to lay his whole body on the hood.
His legs were over. Off
the edge there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if he would, like, just even catch the ground, it could, like, you know, drag him under the car.
Oh, yeah, that could be disastrous.
Ugh. So, yes. This was a nerve-wracking video to watch.
Yeah, that is one that I don't know. Yeah, I'd love to know more about the story. Because, like I said, how does it... Like, how does that argument get to that point? Why are you still hanging on? As soon as I saw it, if I was in this position, I suppose, and I was crazy enough to hang on to a car hood to start with, which seems like a pretty far leap, to be completely frank with you.
No, if somebody wants to leave that bad and they're, you know, getting in their car, I'm not going to jump on the roof or jump on the hood. I don't know why I keep saying roof, but you know why I think it is? Because I had in mind that scene from, you remember Teen Wolf, Kevin? The Michael J. Fox movie?
Yes.
Where he was car surfing by riding on the roof of the car.
Uh-huh.
That seems a lot more safe, actually, than what was happening here in this, this video clip.
That seems 100% safer than this.
Yes. Yeah. And it's not good when you can say the Teen Wolf is actually more reasonable than what is happening in real life.
And honestly, who knows what debris you could be hit with doing this, too, which would feel quite uncomfortable, I'm sure. I've heard rocks hitting my windshield on the highway. If my ass cheek felt that hit, how do you hang on after something like that?
You could have a rock embedded in your ass.
Literally you're going to have a rock embedded in your ass.
And that's not very much fun.
I would imagine that would probably get infected.
Yeah, rocks on the highway bouncing around probably not going to be the cleanest thing you're ever going to come across. That's not where they keep the surgical instruments.
Yeah, so, I mean, honestly, like, I don't see jumping on someone's car hood. When you see them getting onto the highway, you're like, man, I'm out.
Right.
Like, this guy had so much conviction. I kind of want to know why he had that much conviction to hang on.
I'm guessing it was, like, maybe a heated argument and just kind of got in the middle of it. But does it look to you, like, when he's on the roof that he's on this cell phone talking to somebody? Or am I imagining that?
No, it does kind of look like that. I am under... the possible impression that he was talking to the driver.
Yeah, what would you even be saying at that point?
I don't know. And I don't know how easy it is to hear someone talking like that. When I use my Bluetooth now, if I have the windows down, I can't hear Dick.
Mm.
I can only imagine being out in full wind...
That cannot be easier to hear.
Yeah, that cannot be easier to hear. Like, it's got to be really loud. There's the sound of the engine going on.
Right. The other cars on the road.
The other cars on the road. Some of whom may be beeping at you because there is somebody on the car.
Yeah, that's insane. It's a crazy video. It's worth checking out just to say you've seen it. And you can see that this amazing job this guy does of recording it as well, which could be the true marvel of the whole thing. But you know what, Kevin? I guess you never know when it's your time, it's your time.
Yeah, this guy may have lived through this experience.
It apparently was not his time to die, at least on video.
Yeah, it may have occurred later, but we're just not completely sure.
But you could end up doing something seemingly mundane and safe, such as installing a beer system.
Yeah.
And meet your end unexpectedly.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. A 48-year-old Todd Keeling was found dead. He had developed a TAP system, and I felt like we had done some type of story about TAP systems to cut down on foaming previously. So I'm not sure if it was this guy or just a system similar to it.
Yeah.
In which he was cutting down the normal time to pour a draft beer, evidently, is, if I'm not mistaken, 15 seconds or 14 seconds. And they had cut it down to a 5-second wait.
Yes, I think it was 14 to 5 seconds. So that's pretty significant.
Yeah. So that means shorter lines. You're hoping to get more people through. Mm-hmm. Hoping to sell a couple extra beverages to people that are like, nah, I don't want to wait in that line.
Right.
If that line goes quicker,
you're going to be able to sell some more beers. It's good for the ball team, good for the people who are in line, probably. this is a pretty cool idea for an invention, and it's a shame that this ended up happening. Don't really have, I guess, all the details here.
Yeah, he got a patent. I believe it was a patent for this system in 2014, mm-hmm. was what we saw earlier. And he was installing it at the Braves, the Atlanta Braves baseball field.
Yes.
And he had deals with a couple other teams. And, I mean, that's kind of the other crazy thing. Like, this guy had really just kind of hit it big. I've literally, in that if you're working with major league teams, if it goes well, I would think that it would expand, you know, other people would think the same thing, and boom, you are sitting on a bank full of cash.
Yeah. So we're not exactly sure, what happened, but the cooler, they said, didn't go below 40 degrees.
Oh.
I don't know. He could have had a heart attack or something while he was working in there. That's a possibility. But they did end up finding him after opening
the cooler
area where he had been inside.
Yeah.
And apparently he wouldn't have been able to get out of there, which is, really, an unfortunate way to go. It's probably the saddest of the stories we've had of people locked into things, Kevin. We did have the other guy who was locked into the beer cooler overnight, which we strongly suspected he did on purpose.
Right. This guy did not do it on purpose. The police were not able to comment on whether there was foul play involved or not.
Yeah, it seemed like a strange way to have foul play, I guess. Inside the
right,
you know, back end of the stadium,
the cooler inside of a stadium, yeah. In which you know other people are going to see that person in a fairly short amount of time, no matter what, especially during baseball season.
Right.
Like, that is not a good hiding place for a dead body. Maybe in the off season it would work.
Yeah.
During the season, not so much.
They said he had been working either Monday and Tuesday, and they found him on Wednesday. So they're not sure, I guess, how long he was even in there necessarily, because it's kind of a range of time he might have been in there working. So it is a one of those strange stories, and just I guess not something you would expect to be dangerous at all.
Well, yeah, like you said, it could be you would call a heart attack more of a natural causes situation,
right?
And I guess it does lead to something that we can extend this out a little bit, that I was ready to talk about. Vinnie Paul of the band Pantera passing away.
Ah.
There have been a lot of famous people that a lot of people have gone, oh man, that really hit me in the feels. Whether it's David Bowie or Prince. And I know that those are kind of two of the bigger names in music that have passed recently. I know that there are probably others that I'm not.
Tom Petty, maybe, for a lot of
Tom
people.
Petty.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom Petty might have been a little bit closer to home for me than those other two, to be honest. But the Vinnie Paul one, because that's the only speculation that I've seen, is that it was a natural causes situation. Nothing's being released. It always seems like if it is kind of a drug-related thing, it gets out sooner rather than later, unfortunately, or not. I would have to think about the, like Chris Cornell is another one who passed away recently, and yeah, this one was a really tough one. Just the fact that his brother got Dimebag Darrell got murdered here in Columbus was always something that completely bummed me out. And just having Vinnie Paul pass along too is just tough. Like, that is half of in my opinion, the best band that I have ever listened to. It's that's a tough one, man. That is really harsh. And it, like I said, it doesn't seem like it was any foul play involved, much like our vendor. And yeah, it sucks, man. That just really hits home. I listened to so much Pantera from high school through college. And even now, even before this happened, anytime a Pantera song would come on Liquid Metal, I was always like, oh yeah, that is getting a little extra volume. Just because that's kind of like how much I love them.
Wow. I can't believe that the Cowboys from Hell came out in 1990.
Oh, right. Because I remember being given that right before Vulgar Display of Power came out. So I believe that Vulgar Display came out in 92, if I'm not mistaken, and then Far Beyond Driven is 94. So they did 1 year album, 1 year off, 1 year album, 1 year off.
Yes. I remember having that Vulgar Display of Power album as well. It was definitely too edgy to listen to around your parents at
Yeah. Although I do remember my parents being okay with it later down the line. But that's when I guess we had proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that we hadn't fallen in with the Satanists of the time.
Yes.
Because all heavy metal was devil music.
Oh yeah. Well, there's that big satanic kind of panic that they had a little before that time. Maybe back in the 80s was probably the heyday for that.
Yeah, it was a little bit earlier than this, but there was still definitely a little bit of that lingering.
Sure, some residue left over from that whole thing.
Yeah,
I agree.
especially in the we've spoken before of the DeFranco household was things were a little more straight laced than I would say the Phillips household was.
Yeah, you guys weren't watching like the monster movies and stuff over there.
No.
But yeah.
Yeah, so this one was this is just really tough. I've listened to a lot of his music over the last week plus since it happened. Because I think it'll be like 2 weeks on Saturday that I saw the news.
And I do remember being impressed, even at the time, with the the drums on the Pantera songs, because it's always very like he was able to do like very like fast paced but seemingly I think loud and like powerful sounding drums.
Yeah, and he has a really wide range to what he uses in his drum kit. He doesn't just kind of rely on a couple of things. He's very versatile in his playing style. And he had a certain vibe with his brother, Dimebag, there that was kind of one of those things that I guess you learn when you are brothers and you do something like that. Because I guess they did always like the Van Halen brothers, and they certainly were obviously a different genre of music than the Van Halens, but they certainly had a similar influence in how they changed heavy metal music.
Well, that's I think a good way to go out maybe this week.
Well, we do have the Belltime Beer of the Week, I suppose, Ken, to still talk about.
Oh, that's true, Kevin. We don't want to miss that. This was from an Ohio brewer, Great Lakes Brewing Company.
They definitely have a fairly large presence here. It was one of the earlier microbreweries that had a somewhat major distribution.
Mm-hmm.
It made it back to Altoona in fairly short order.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, so Great Lakes. This is, I believe, a newer one, Cloud Cutter Ale, which I believe was just like a pale wheat ale, was what I saw on Untappd, I believe. And, yeah, I think it lives up to the billing. It has a little bit lighter of a flavor, but there's still definitely some hoppiness involved in it.
Mm-hmm. I was looking for something more on the refreshing side, having being the kind of hot times of summer we're going through. And I think this mostly fits the bill here.
I agree. I was looking forward to trying this. This is another one that the last time I was at Crew Stadium, I saw that was available. I saw I had not had it. So I was excited when this was the beverage of the evening.
Well, I must have picked up on your vibes, Kevin, when I was at the store and picked this out. So I'm glad it worked out.
Okie dokie, grandkids. That is all for this one. I'm at DeFrango11. He's at Gozer33. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us whenever you can. Because, yeah, we need it. Do it, please. Thank you. And we are out.
Have a good week.